Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We want to continue today a lesson that we began yesterday in talking about the ascension of Christ. Now, this is a part of preaching Christ. When you preach Christ, you preach all the things that the Bible reveals concerning the Christ. And inasmuch as He is the central personality of all the Scripture, when you preach the Bible, you're preaching Christ. And we're talking specifically about this one event in the existence of Christ, and that was His ascension after His resurrection. Now, we're asking certain questions about that ascension. We ask the question when it was, and we know it was about 2,000 years ago, some 40 days after His resurrection. And He had talked to the apostles, and He had taught them right into the very day of His departure. And we read where He was when He left this earth. Geographically, the location of His ascension was near the little village of Bethany. You know, only once did Jesus ever go beyond the borders of Palestine, maybe twice, once or twice, not very much. He wasn't widely traveled. His life was spent in a very small area. And we marvel at the influence of one who traveled no more than Jesus did. The actual spot from which He ascended is called the Mount of Olives. And that's not far from the home of His friends of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. It was but a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. And He ascended from a place where He had often gone for prayer and for solitude from the multitudes, and from the stress that was imposed upon Him. He had been there often to rest. He had taken His apostles there often with Him to teach. And those who had visited this area even in our own day, they comment on how the entire surroundings present a garden-like environment, a very peaceful atmosphere. Well, where did Jesus go? Well, we know where He went. As we mentioned last time, if He had just disappeared, nobody would know what happened to Him, but we know where He went. But He went to a place that's invisible to the human eye. The Bible says He went out of their sight. But He went to a place of rank and of power. And He is now, as Paul taught in Colossians chapter 3, He's seated at the right hand of God. This was the same message that the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. When He ascended, Hebrews 1 and verse 3, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And friend, this designates a place of the highest rank, of the greatest honor, and one of authority, and of unexcelled power. Well, Luke 24:51 tells us where He went. He was carried up into heaven. This means that He went to that great spiritual realm where there's joy and peace and goodness and purity. He went to the same place that He has promised to those who come to Him and live faithfully in Him. He went to the place from which He had come. You know, it's a marvelous thought to know that where Jesus went, even though we cannot see it, it's not out of our reach as human beings. He went to an unseen world, to be sure, but even yet He's near enough to see us and to sympathize with us and to watch over us. He's near enough to provide for us, and we live and are blessed in the providence of God. And He went to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. He is there to plead our case before the Father. And what is even more wonderful is that we can go where He is. Jesus said, "Where I am, there ye may be also." Now, He said that to the apostles. But the apostles were to go and to preach to others the same kind of promises that Jesus made, and this was a part of the teaching that they were to give in preaching Christ. You see, the mission of Christ here on earth was to make it possible for us to go and to dwell with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit and all the redeemed and the saved of all the ages forever and ever, in time, no time in eternity with no end, an eternal life. And that will be the heavenly reward with deity. But now an important question that we have about his ascension. Why did he ascend into heaven? Well, it seems to me of all the questions that we might ask, this may be the most important of them all. And there are a number of reasons that we can consider because the Bible tells us. Some are explicitly stated, others are implied. We know that he went to receive his kingdom. In Luke, the 19th chapter, in that parable that Jesus taught, he pictures himself as going away and coming again. And it shows that he went away and tells the purpose for his going away, to receive for himself a kingdom. Now, to receive this kingdom was just exactly what Daniel had prophesied, recorded for us in Daniel the 7th chapter. He prophesied of that event when the Son of Man, referring to Christ, would go to the Ancient of Days, referring to God the Father. And when he did go to the Ancient of Days, he would be given a kingdom. Well, friend, that's what occurred. Christ ascended back to the Father, and in a few days, the day of Pentecost, the kingdom was established. You know, it was announced before his birth that he would be a king on the throne of David. Now, to be sure, his was a spiritual kingdom. His was not an earthly kingdom. He told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." People then, and many people now, are confused about Christ establishing some kind of earthly, physical, civil kingdom here upon this world and ruling and reigning 1,000 years. That's as false as a $3 bill. That's altogether in the minds and the making of men and their false doctrine of premillennialism. Christ is not going to establish an earthly kingdom and reign here upon this earth. In fact, the prophet said that no descendant of one of the kings of Israel, of Judah, would ever reign in Jerusalem anymore. And Christ was a descendant of that king. He would violate the prophecies of God if he had set up a kingdom here upon this earth. But while he was here on this earth, he foretold of the coming of the kingdom. He taught his disciples to pray for the coming of the kingdom. In fact, he said that some of those that were standing before him and listening to him, those whom he was teaching right then, he said they would not taste of death until they saw the kingdom come with power. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Read it in your Bible yourself. And he even identified the power that was coming. That power would be the Holy Spirit, Acts 1 and verse 8. And we read in Acts chapter 2 that power did come on the day of Pentecost. He had even foretold these signs that were able to be known the very moment of the coming of his kingdom. That's why Jesus left, to receive his kingdom. And furthermore, you may recall that he had promised his apostles that he would send them a comforter, the Holy Spirit, when he left them. He said it was expedient that he go away, John chapter 16. Well, possibly the misunderstanding of the nature of his kingdom, even among the apostles, made it needful that he no longer remain here upon this earth. And while he was here on this earth, physically, he would be hindered while in the flesh. He would be subjected to certain physical limitations and persecutions. That was evident of what happened unto him while he was here. And furthermore, it was prophesied that he would be both king and priest. Well, he could not be king and priest on this earth. He was not of the priestly tribe. He was the tribe of Judah, not of the tribe of Levi. And as Stephen preached, the earth is God's footstool. It's not his throne. His throne is in heaven, Acts 7 and verse 49. But then, having made all the necessary preparations for his return, Having fulfilled the work that he was sent to accomplish, he ascended back into heaven, and in doing that, he accomplishes the fulfillment of prophecy that had been foretold concerning him and concerning this very event of his ascension that we're studying just now. But in addition to all of these reasons, we have that explicitly stated by Christ himself in John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. Now we have his very own words as to why he returned. We have his very own assurance. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Someone has said that heaven is a prepared place, Christ prepared it, a prepared place for a prepared people. And we become a prepared people by rendering obedience to the gospel. Now some object that this promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit was given to everybody, just like it was to the apostles. No, that's not what took place. These words were spoken to the apostles, and the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit applied only to them. And we read that when the Holy Spirit did come, it didn't come on everybody, it came on the apostles. Paul said, while speaking of his crown of righteousness that he would eventually receive, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing, 2 Timothy 4:8. You see, when the Lord comes again, the saved are going to be raised to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Friend, it's a wonderful thing to know that as Christ ascended, there coming a time that the redeemed are going to descend into heaven with him. Yes, our Lord returned to be king and priest and mediator, the rewarder, the spiritual companion with all of those who would follow him. God's word teaches us that Jesus is our Savior now, dear friend, and he reigns in heaven over his kingdom. And we can be thankful that he was lifted up in this fashion. He was lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up from the tomb. And eventually he was lifted up into heaven. And in these words, he became our Savior, and he provided God's plan for saving man, the very basis of our hope of eternal life. Well, as we conclude our brief thoughts about the ascension of Christ, let us seriously consider that time when we too can be lifted up into the glories of heaven. Yes, we're all going to die physically, but we shall be raised from the dead when the Lord comes again. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. And to what shall we be raised? Shall we be raised to destruction? Or shall we be raised to eternal life? Yes, we can be raised to the advantage of eternal life with the one that ascended from Bethany. For he has provided that way for us by his death, his burial, and resurrection, by believing in him, by obeying his gospel in repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, by living a faithful Christian life, the Lord is going to return, and when he comes, those who are his, they're going to meet him in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, and will ever be with the Lord. That kingdom which is his church will be delivered to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24. What a glorious thing will be, not only the ascension of Christ, but our own ascension eventually into heaven. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.